Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from Pastor John Twitchell at the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
I wear the chain I forged in life, replied the ghost. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Scrooge trembled more and more. Or would you know, pursued the ghost, the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain. Scrooge glanced about him on the floor in the expectation of finding himself surrounded by some 50 or 60 fathoms of iron cable, but he could see nothing. So if you were taking bets this morning about whether or not I could make it through an Easter sermon without a reference to Les Mis, you're probably surprised to hear these words by Charles Dickens from the first chapter of A Christmas Carol. And the rest of you who weren't so much wondering about whether or not I was going to make Les Mis references are just simply surprised because today's Easter, not Christmas. But I really wanted to start with this image today because the image of chains is a universal image that rings so true with our human experience. Chains are those things which hold you back, that keep you in bondage. They seem to limit the possibilities of your life, burdens that you drag around with you. It occurs to me, as I thought about chains this week, it occurs to me that there are sort of 3 basic types of chains in life. There are the chains of injustice. Often the people who are under the chains of injustice have no control over that injustice. They are in bondage to broken systems. There are the chains that are the result of our own making. Certainly those are the chains that Jacob Marley was talking about in A Christmas Carol. And there are the chains that are common to all people, the chains of sickness, death, and the grave. That first type of chain, you may remember the hymn writer talks about the chains of injustice in that great Christmas hymn, O Holy Night. You remember, right? The 3rd verse of O Holy Night. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. The chains of injustice are not just about slavery or about human trafficking. They're about all forms of injustice, cycles of poverty, child labor, world hunger, gender or race inequality, lack of clean drinking water. Those who live under those chains often are in bondage through no fault of their own, but due to circumstances outside of their control, the family into which they were born, or the geographic area in which they live, or the only work they were able to find. Hear me say this, church in the evangelical tradition. We are mistaken if we believe that God isn't concerned about these sort of oppressive bonds. We are mistaken if we think that God doesn't want his church to be concerned about these sorts of oppressive bonds or these sorts of social issues. In Isaiah 58, God laments the religiosity of his people. He laments their fasting. He says, your fasting results in quarreling and strife. It's a fasting that results only in the bowing of the head or the wearing of ashes. And then he goes on to remind us what sort of religion he does want from his people. He says this, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. You see, the people of God are given the holy responsibility to partner with God to help loose the chains of injustice. You and I are to be the hands which feed the hungry and clothe the poor. You and I are to be the friends, the advocates for the poor and downtrodden, the friends of the abased. Like Jesus the Nazarene, we are to go to the margins to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But the chains of injustice are not the only chains. They're not the only chains that keep people in bondage, for like Jacob Marley, we know that there are chains of our own making, right? The results of our own decisions, our choices in life that define us, our addictions or our pacifiers that keep us from fully relying on God, or our slow and steady decisions which continually lead us so far down a road that we're not even sure if we can get back again. But when I talk about the second type of chains, I'm not really only talking about bad decisions or about the addictions we choose to allow control over our lives. Those are certainly links in the chain, but we might recognize some other links in this chain, right? Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride. You remember those seven, right? The seven deadly sins. We know those aren't the only ones, though, right? There are so many more. We keep dreaming up more and more ways. We could talk about a spirit of deceit or falsehood, the tangled web of lies we weave around us. We could talk about gossip or the ways we push others down in order to get ahead, or a lack of submission to authority in our lives, to the mistaken belief that we are our own gods, from the ways in which we put God in a box, to the idols we allow to take his place in our lives. Each of those form a link in this second type of chain, a chain that is truly ponderous, link by link, chain by chain. We make it, we build it, we forge it from the earliest moments in our lives when we begin to exert our will against our parents or against our God. That chain prevents us from being in good and proper relationship with God. It also prevents us from experiencing the life he had in store for us, the plans and purposes he had in mind for you before you drew your very first breath. We sing these words at Christmas time too. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. We can't fulfill those hopes when we're carrying a chain of our own making. We can't live in harmony with God or with one another when we carry around the chains of sins and addictions. I'm reminded of these words from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know, the author of Hebrews kind of sets a tall order there. He says, throw off the chains that bind you. The chains that bind us, we need help throwing off, right? If we didn't need help throwing them off, they wouldn't be binding us. The reality of being in bondage is that we often can't break the chains on our own. The slave needs help getting free. The hungry child needs help out of the cycle of poverty. The person in human trafficking forced to sell their body needs help to get out. We in the same manner need help to break the chains of our own sin. Unable to rid our soul of the one dark blot, we are people in need of a savior, people in need of forgiveness, people in need of being reconciled to God. There's bad news here, that we are powerless to break our own chains. Paul knows this. Paul knows that we're powerless because he writes this in Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The hymn writer puts it this way. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. In other words, Now hear me say this, evangelical church. Jesus isn't only interested in breaking the chains of injustice, right? We would not want to be so wrapped up in social justice that we forget the other core element of what Christ came to do, to break the chains of sin, to break the power of sin in our lives. His very life and death are the means by which our sins can be forgiven, that our slate can be washed clean, that we can have a new beginning. Most importantly, that we can be reconciled to the Creator. And so that brings us to the third type of chains I want to talk about this morning. The first type was the chains of injustice. And injustice exists in our world simply because of the fall, because of sin. It's a result of that second type of chain, the chain of sin, the chains of our own making. And the third type of chains is also a direct result of the second, the chains that are common to all people, the chains of sickness, death, and the grave. Oh, we might try to pretend that it doesn't exist. We go on diets. We use anti-aging creams. We try hair replacement treatments. No, I haven't actually tried it yet. I actually think I'm just going to shave it and bald, kind of go like you. That's what I'm planning to do. Yeah, I think so. I don't know if my wife will let me yet or not, but when I get there, that's where we're going. We do all of this, why? In an effort to forget, in an effort to kind of somehow slow the aging process, in an effort to forget that we're moving ever closer to the end of our own life. Yet we are continually confronted with our own mortality. Each of us gathered here, grieving the loss of someone in our lives. Some a long time ago, some very recent, some still very painful. The grief that can't be spoken. The empty chairs at empty tables. And they not only cause an ache in our own heart, but they remind us of our own fragile bodies that are wearing out. The reminders that the cords of death are like a fast-growing vine, seeking to ensnare us and overcome us. Romans 6:23 reminds us that this third type of chain is a result of the second type of chain, that death is the result of sin. In other words, the chains of death, the chains that are common to all people, are the direct result of our disobedience to God, our failure to live in covenant relationship with the Creator. To put it another way, since the very beginning of time, humanity has been saying to God, "No thanks. I'll do it my way." And since the very beginning of time, God has said right back, "Go ahead, you can do it your way," and allows us to do that and to reap the consequences of that. But this verse doesn't just stop there. This verse tells us the gift of God is eternal life. And if we back up just one verse to Romans 6:22, we read these words: "But now that you have been set free," but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. In other words, hear this. Not only does Jesus set us free from sin, he sets us free from the consequences of sin. He sets us free from death itself. The result is eternal life, which brings us to Easter and the empty tomb. Amen. You may have been wondering, Pastor, are you ever going to actually get to Easter this morning? That is, after all, why we came, to proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Earlier today, our children, great job, by the way, ladies, wonderful, beautiful work. Our children came and recited that beautiful shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. We wanted our children to memorize it, because we know that it will be for them one of the most powerful pieces of scripture that they will need in their lives over and over and over again. And there's so much beautiful in Psalm 23. The power of Psalm 23 isn't really found in the green pastures or the still waters. No, don't get me wrong. Those are great, beautiful, powerful images and glorious truths. But for me, the real power of Psalm 23 is found in the valley. Psalm 23 reminds us the Good Shepherd goes with us through the valley, even the valley of death. And as I so often remind people, the good news is this: he's already been there. Not only does he go with us, but he's already been there. He's already gone through the valley, and Easter is for us the reminder that he came out on the other side. Easter is the reminder that death and the grave have been conquered. Easter is the reminder that the cords of death no longer hold power over those who believe. For when we breathe our last, we are then actually more fully alive. For Easter gives us a certain hope of the future resurrection of the dead, of new and unending life with Christ. Easter morning, then, is the grand and glorious conclusion to the Good Friday narrative we started the other night, the narrative of the crucifixion. Now, don't mishear me. The crucifixion is vitally important to our faith. Amen? Amen. But yet we somehow know this, that if the story had ended Friday night, our faith would be incomplete. A crucifixion without a resurrection would have been somehow incomplete. For if there had been a crucifixion without a resurrection, we would have been hopeless. If God did not have the power to conquer death and the grave, then, quite frankly, Christianity as we know it simply wouldn't exist. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he goes so far to say this, that if Christ had not been raised, our faith would be futile. Our preaching would be useless, we would still be in our sins, and that we of all people should be the most pitied. In other words, hear this, if not for the resurrection, I have nothing to preach. And you have nothing to believe. We might as well go home and eat chocolate eggs and celebrate a giant white bunny. But Paul knows better, because after he says that, he goes on. Paul knows better because he himself had a vision of the risen Christ. And he goes on to write this in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 26. Hear the word of the Lord. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes those who belong to him, then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's literary references peppered all throughout the message this morning. You can go back and try to find them later if you like. Some of you think this is a Harry Potter reference. It's written on the tombstone in Godric's Hollow. Just so you know, Paul wrote it first. Okay, got it? All right, so it's still a literary reference, but the Apostle Paul wrote it first. This is why Easter is so important. It's the proof. You understand this. Miracles had been performed. The blind had been made to see. The lame walked. The mute shouted for joy. They could see the evidence of those things. But Jesus did something else. He said over and over again, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Now, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the temple authorities, they could believe that Jesus had healed people. They could believe that Jesus had made people see. But there was no evidence for them that Jesus had the power to forgive sins. In fact, they kind of go after him on this point a couple times. Who gave you the authority to forgive sins? There's no way for them to know if Jesus really had the authority to do what he was talking about. It's not like they could fast forward to the judgment and see if Jesus' kind of prophetic word came true or not. There was no way for them to know if Jesus had the power to forgive sins. That is, until the resurrection. You see, the resurrection is the proof. The resurrection is the evidence. If Jesus was victorious over death in the grave, then surely he had the power to forgive sin. If Jesus could break the chains of death, then surely he could break the chains of sin, addiction, brokenness, and injustice. Paul says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. See, here's the good news of the gospel. If Jesus has the power to destroy death, if Jesus has the power to defeat the last enemy, guess what? He has the power to defeat all the other enemies. Since the chains of death and the grave are broken, we know that the chains of injustice are being broken, that the chains of sin and addiction are being broken, all in the name of Jesus. Indeed, we can rejoice with the beautiful ancient affirmation of the Eastern Church. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. It's this hope that we proclaim today. It is this free gift that is offered freely to all who believe in Christ for forgiveness of sins. It is the breaking of chains in our lives, here and now, and in the forever after. It is the promise of the kingdom of God in all its fullness. I love that passage from Isaiah 65. It's so full of hope. The depiction of the kingdom of God, the peaceable kingdom. God will do a new thing and the old things will pass away. No longer will we work in vain. No longer will we build houses for other people to live in or grow fruit for other people to eat. No longer will infants be taken away by the chains of death. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. It is the same kingdom that is depicted by that, for me, all-encompassing, beautiful vision at the end of Les Mis. Yes, for those of you who are betting I couldn't make it through Easter without a Les Mis reference, you were right. If you're not familiar with the story, you know that the main character forged a new life after experiencing grace and forgiveness. Having been redeemed, having brought about new life out of the ashes, Jean Valjean comes to the end of his story, comes to his last breath. As they come to get him, Fantine, his angel, if you will, says to him, "Come with me. The chains will never bind you." And as he walks out of this world into the world to come, we are given again a beautiful picture of the peaceable kingdom. Now, you may think that's strange in a movie that had lots of military depictions in it. But at the end, we have a picture of the peaceable kingdom, the world beyond the barricade that we all long to see, as the miserable and the wretched find themselves reborn and resurrected into this kingdom. The song of military rebellion that they've been singing all along, their song of revolt and revolution, finally turns into a song of hope and of peace. Do you hear the people sing, lost in the valley of the night? It is the music of a people who are climbing to the light. For the wretched of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. They will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. They will walk behind the plowshare. They will put away the sword. The chain will be broken and all men will have their reward. And that is the certain hope of the resurrection. The darkest night has ended. Sin has been destroyed. Injustice is overturned, and even death itself overcome. The darkest night has ended. The sun will rise eternally. The chain will be broken, and all will have their reward. For he is risen. He is risen indeed.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. Pastor John would love to hear from you with any questions or just to let him know where you're listening from. You can send him an email at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. May God bless you as you serve him today.